discuss the fact, we continue the lesson, and we discussed the fact last week that Jesus Christ has no pleasure in those who draw back. As is stated in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. And the word drawback there is the word that we use for backsliding so many times. Read that passage. And another brother has 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 available. Let us hear the passage.
Now the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
Now remember, the drawback there means backslide. And remember last week's study, we discussed the fact that there are many Christians who are in the process of backsliding and don't realize it. There are many Christians who have backslidden, even though they now and again attend worship, and they do not realize that in God's sight they have left the faith. We want to try to avoid that. You see, let us hear that again.
Now the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
If any man draw back. If any man, and man there is used generically. If any man or woman backslide.
My soul shall have no pleasure in
him. God says his soul shall have no pleasure in that person.
But we are not of them who draw back
unto perdition. But the writer of the book of Hebrews says, the writer of the book of Hebrew now moved to the positive. We are not of that group who backslide. But let us strive with God's help not to fall in that group. Read.
But of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
We believe, and our faith will continue, hopefully, to work, that ultimately our soul will be saved. Look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 20 through 22. These passages are helping us to understand how God sees the backslider. Read.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world.
Notice the positive that comes to us when a man or a woman turns to Jesus Christ, becomes a Christian. Here is what you have. You escape
the pollutions of the world.
Uh-huh.
Through the knowledge of the Lord and
through
Savior Jesus
Christ.
Through the knowledge
of the Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
They are again entangled.
If after you have done that, you escape the contamination of the world. That's sin. You go back from whence you came. What it says?
The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
You are worse in God's sight than before you became a Christian. Everybody gets that. Everybody gets that. Read on.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness.
Somebody didn't hear that. It's better we did not become Christian than after having become Christian to go back into sin, into ungodliness, into worldliness. Read on.
Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again.
This is stating how God sees us, you know. Everybody gets it? Because what you just described, there is something that many of us can't stand. I'm one of those persons who have a weak stomach in respect to a dog will vomit and turn back and eat it. Isn't that despicable? Well, this is telling how God sees us. When we became Christian, and then step by step, we backslide and get right back where we were previous to becoming children of God. Huh? Read on.
and the soul that was washing her, wallowing.
The soul, in country, when we're going, we call it the soul. That's the heart. Huh? Don't worry, you shampoo on a heart. Please. Because that heart going to look for the muddiest, dirtiest water and wash in it. And what it is here, it is giving us a picture where the Almighty God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, as if it were, wash us with antiseptic. Eh? The blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us from all moral and spiritual contamination. Eh? And then we make the decision to go right back, just like the heart. And many of you town people, you only eat pork. You don't see how hog operate. Those of us, we are blessed to have gotten the education we get from country. Just being country boy and country girl. You see, the hog always making him little hole, you know, use the tusk of his mouth and dig out the place and dig out the place. And the people who raise the hog throw water in there. And when sun hot, that's where the hog, in the muddy place, that's where the hog. So you don't worry, go and make mistake washing the hog. Because it's going to get right back. In fact, I don't even sure that modern hog worry with that again. That's right. That's right. Because, you see, for commercial purpose, the way hogs are being raised today, just like the way chicken are being raised, it's not like when I was growing up. You understand? But the fact is, at least when I was growing up, and when the writer of Hebrew was around, that's the way hog is. And God is saying to us, don't act like they are. Eh? When Jesus Christ cleansed us, let us not seek to go back to that life. Huh? Last week when we ended, we were on the point, and we will pick up on those points. Listing, are we there? Listing some things that will reinforce, are we there? Our relationship with Jesus Christ. And will protect against backsliding. The last things we dealt with, thing we dealt with last week was conviction and zeal. Huh? That we must have conviction in respect to what God's Word teaches. Huh? And we must have some zeal. When in the book of Revelation chapter 3, 15 through 17, the Almighty God warned the church of Laodicea that because they were neither hot nor cold, He's going to spew them out of His mouth. Wait. There are churches out there that totally miss the concept of being hot or being cold. Being hot doesn't mean you jump up and prance and dance and throw yourself in the dirt and knock your... No, it has nothing to do with that. Being hot was referring to the conviction and the boldness of the children of God. That's right. That's what it's about. People think it means to shake your body and get out of control. It has nothing to do with that, ladies and gentlemen. But we move on. Well, before, remember we pointed out, just like the church in Laodicea lost their sense of what was valuable. You remember that? Remember they said, because we are rich and we are need of nothing, And that was because they were materially blessed. They thought everything was okay. Do you know that some people are like that today? They use their material blessing to measure their spiritual worth. Brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Please. The Almighty God says He will spew them out of His mouth. So we move on now to the other point. Are you with me? Which reinforce our relationship with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ and help against backsliding. That other point is knowledge of God's will and our memory. That's right. Our memory plays a moral part in serving God. Our knowledge of God's will and our memory play very important part in whether I backslide or remain faithful to the Almighty God. Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. You have Ezekiel, Daniel, you have Isaiah after Ezekiel, I think.
For a desired mercy.
Listen to the passage. The brother is reading from chapter 6. Another brother may hold chapter 4. The brother is reading from chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. What we are talking about is the important part. That knowledge, that the important part that knowledge plays in reinforcing the relationship we have with God and protecting against backsliding. Knowledge is important. Listen to the passage.
For I desired mercy.
I desire mercy.
And not sacrifice.
And not sacrifice.
And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Did you all hear that? Did you all hear that? The Almighty God says He desires
the knowledge of God.
Knowledge of God
more than burnt offerings.
Somebody didn't hear that.
And the knowledge of God.
Knowledge of God's will.
More than burnt
offerings. A very important part. If we are going to be pleasing to God. Hold the passage. This is why. In the book of Romans chapter 10. Don't read that, brother. Because we want to. We have so much to cover. The Bible tells us, well, you may have it in case I mess up on what the Bible says. I think it says, brethren, my heart's desire.
And desire.
For Israel is that they might be saved. Watch here now. For I bear them record.
That they have a zeal of God.
A zeal of God.
But not
according to
knowledge.
You see? Zeal. You're running the fire for God. But you see, make sure you're running it the way God wants you to run in it. That's where knowledge comes in. That's right. They have zeal. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Willingness to serve God. They have that. But you see, that is not enough. They need, and I need to, and I'm glad for Red Pen. They need knowledge of God. Knowledge is important. I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now watch the result.
But they have been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establish their own righteousness.
Wait. It's knowledge that give us directed into how God going to make man righteous. Knowledge that tell us how God will make us right. If we don't have knowledge, if we don't respect the gospel, the New Testament, my God, we are burning up with religious zeal and do our own religious thing. That's why you find men and women all over throw themselves on the ground and blaming it on the Holy Spirit. They do not know the Holy Spirit. If they knew the Holy Spirit, they would have realized that the Holy Spirit never make anyone act uncontrollably. Never. But you see, they lack knowledge. Where you start from?
About to establish their own righteousness.
Going about to establish their own righteousness.
Have not
submitted themselves
unto the righteousness of God.
You see, that's knowledge. But run back to Uzziah.
For I have desired mercy,
mm-hmm.
and not sacrifice,
uh-huh.
and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Uzziah did not more. Wait, who commanded the sacrifice and burnt offering? God. But God says, that is not as important as knowledge of Him. Do you see the reason? The reason is, without knowledge, you cannot offer the sacrifice properly.
Yeah.
You all get the point? To offer the sacrifice, the burnt offering, properly, acceptably, you need knowledge.
But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant.
They have transgressed the covenant. So here we have God was not only knowledge of God, was not only tied with loyalty to the covenant, but was more desirable to God than the costliest of burnt
offering. They have dealt treacherously against me.
They dealt treacherously against the Almighty God, and lack of knowledge contributed to that. May I? Look at chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 6. Same, Uzziah.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel.
Children of Israel, they were God's people then. Christian of the Lord's church. The church which Christ purchased with His own blood. And you know what the Bible tells me? He purchased us one.
Amen.
They are God's children today. Before Jesus Christ, the Israelites were. And anyone then wanting to become God's people have to come and identify with the Israelites.
Yeah.
The process was called proselyting, where a Gentile was converted to the way of the Israelite. That's right. Let us hear what you're reading, brother.
The word of the Lord, ye children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land.
The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land.
Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
There is no truth, there is no mercy, and there is no what?
Knowledge of God.
Of God, here again. The prophet is on the same theme. Knowledge of God.
Verse 6.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, why are you spending time on knowledge? Knowledge of God reinforces our relationship with God, and it helps to protect against backsliding.
Yeah, amen.
Read, brother. Verse 6 now.
My people are destroyed.
My people are destroyed.
For lack of knowledge.
For what?
For lack of knowledge.
For what?
For lack of knowledge.
Somebody didn't hear that. You better read it another time.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Brothers and sisters, for knowledge. May I? We easily forget and drift away like Israel. Huh? Huh? We are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The word "let them slip" there means lest at any time we forget. Do you get the drift there? We should not forget God's truth. That's what's going to help to protect us. Hmm? What did you read, brother? Read it again for me now.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
Because, wait. You see, you just, like when we ask Christian to be faithful to Bible study, where you can ask question and you can learn from the question others are. No, you are too busy for that. Every service you miss something that could have been of help to you. Huh? Because you consider it not that important. The thing you consider important is your job and money. Huh? But all those are provided you by God.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? The Almighty God wants you to show more interest in things spiritual, such as knowledge. Read it again for me now.
My people are destroyed.
My people are destroyed.
For lack of knowledge.
And because
thou hast rejected knowledge.
I have rejected you.
I will also reject thee.
Everybody get it? We easily forget and we drift away when we forget like Israel. The generation after Joshua, you remember Moses? He died and then Joshua took over, you remember that? Now, Joshua was one of the most committed and faithful servants of God under the Old Testament system. Brothers and sisters, not long after Joshua died, with all the miracles that the Almighty God had shown the Israelites, miracles in crossing the Red Sea, miracle in the wilderness, wandering, and everything like that. Not long after Joshua died, the Israelites, are we there? Forgot all of God's doing and turned to idolatry, worshipping of idols. Read it for me. I think it is the book of Judges chapter 1 and verse 10. Read it for me, brother. Chapter 2 verse 10, book of Judges. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen.
And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them.
Let me hear. There was a particular verse there that tell about Joshua. I don't know if it's verse 8 or 9.
And verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua,
mm-hmm.
and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua.
Uh-huh.
Who had seen all the great works of the Lord
uh-huh.
that he did for Israel.
Uh-huh.
And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old.
Uh-huh.
And they buried him in the border of his inheritance
uh-huh.
in Timahihi, in the mount of Ephraim.
That's right.
On the north side of the hill Gash.
Mm-hmm.
And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another
Wait,
generation.
Wait, when it says gathered unto their father, mean that generation died. You see, and read on. Because right, running through my head now, is the generation that's going to come after us, you know. And a generation, as I've said, is just about a 40-50 year span. That's right. 50 years from now, the people, the young people who rise up, and those that are young now and become Christian a few years from now, and what type of Christian will they be? Read, brother. I'll get back to that point. Read.
And there arose another generation.
Another generation. Wait, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Read.
After them.
After. That is after Joshua. And Joshua's contemporaries died. Read.
Which knew not the Lord.
Ooh, brother, wait. We come back to knowledge of the Lord again, you know. You get the point?
Yeah, knew not.
You see, who knew not the Lord? Do you know the Lord? When God talks about knowledge of Him is more important than sacrifice, you can understand. We need to have personal relationship with God. That's right. Who knew not the Lord? Read, brother.
Nor yet the works which he had done.
Man, it's one thing to talk about God is good. Huh? It's another thing to experience the goodness of God in your life. Truly. Huh? Do you acknowledge God's goodness and kindness and mercy in your life? That's why for many people God is truly dead. Because He's not alive in their lives. Huh? For many of us, we didn't even know that He was sick. Much more dead. But for so many of you, God is some far away idea. But for the thriving, alive child of God, God through Jesus Christ is alive in my life every day. Where you are reading what it says again, brother?
And the children of Israel, nor yet the works
they did not know
Israel.
God, nor the works of God. You see, that knowledge of God is important. Read, it is talk about this new generation. That's the generation. Those who were young people when Joshua was in his prime. Those who came up and become now adult by the time Joshua and the elders died. They really did not know and experience God. Read, no brother.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And served Balaam.
And served Balaam.
And they forsook the Lord.
They
God.
Forsook. That means, brother, when they backslide from God's way. Read.
And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers,
mm-hmm.
which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord.
You notice how many times? It's not that Brother Webb is going senile and reading over the same thing over and over again. So you see, this business that forsook the Lord, about the second time he's reading that in the very same one or two verse. And why this is being repeated by the inspired writer is to remind us how Israel abandoned not just God, but the covenant that God had with them. And they forsook the Lord.
And served Baal.
And served Baal.
And Ashtaroth.
And Ashtaroth.
And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel.
They turned to idolatry. That's like saying they give up the Lord's true church and turn to man-made churches. Huh? Are we there? The generation after Joshua soon forget their mighty God, His great deliverance and God's covenant with them. Because of this lack of knowledge, are we there? And their forgetfulness, the Israelites fell away into idolatry and all sort of sinfulness. Are we there? They backslide. There are many Baals today. Did you say they serve Baal and Asherah?
Yes.
Those are idolatrous gods made. In fact, those are the gods that the nations by which Israel was surrounded. The Baal and Asherah were some of the deities, the idolatrous gods that these nations adopted. And no sooner, are you following me? No sooner had this young generation after Joshua, no sooner they grew up and went among the Gentiles, they adopted the Gentile religion. And for them, nothing is wrong with it. They were saying, the Astaroth and Baal, they were saying, well, Baal is a god, Astaroth is a god, and Jehovah is a god. What's the difference? Just like men and women today who do not learn God's truth thoroughly, compare the large church with man-made churches. Same thing. And we have to take steps to do what is in our power to help protect the generation that's going to come after us. We need to indoctrinate them with God's truth. Did I say many Baal and Asherahs around today? Things like same-sex marriage is a Baal. Homosexuality is a Baal. Our church, the same church, is a Baal. Nowadays, men and women are not married. They are living together like they are married. Huh? That's a Baal. You know, I was thinking when I was growing up, my grandparents and parents then, you know, it's just the other day, I was thinking, they usually refer to it as you can read my crab foot, sweetheart life. And the other day I was thinking, why they call it that? What's sweetheart about that? If anything is sweetheart, is when the two people really love each other and get married. Huh? But for some reason, they give it that name. What, you talk people never hear of that word? Okay, that's why I said you need education. You need to go culture. That's right. That's right. you know, but all these are there. Because, you know what they are there? Brothers and sisters, probably before I die, homosexual same-sex marriage will be accepted. You will hear people in the large church saying nothing wrong with it. Baal, Asherah, I cannot trust God. Many of that are around today. And we have to figure out with God's word, how can we help not only the generation that is our contemporary, but the generation that's going to come after us. Knowledge and memory play important part in whether we continue faithful or draw back. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, you know it. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We have to
give the more earnest
heed. What type of heed?
More earnest
heed. What type of heed?
Earnest heed.
Earnest heed to the things
which we have heard.
That is when God's truth is preached to you, never take it lightly. Lest at
any time we should let them slip.
For if
the word spoken by angels
was steadfast,
and every transgression and disobedience
receive a just
recompense of reward,
how shall we
escape if we
neglect?
So
wait, brother, take time with me. Neglect me, you take God's word lightly. You treat it anyway. How shall we neglect if we
escape if we neglect so great
salvation which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, that is by Jesus Christ himself, and was confirmed to us by the apostles, those that heard him, God bearing them witness by signs and miracles and mighty deeds. How shall we escape? Then in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 and 2, what it says?
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel.
I declare unto you the gospel.
Which I preach unto you. Which also ye have received. And wherein ye stand. By which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preach unto you.
Take time with me, dear brother. Take time with me. If you keep in
memory.
Y'all get that? If you keep in memory. So it's not sufficient just to hear the gospel. You must know it or keep it in memory. Eh? Brothers and sisters, the knowledge of God is a reinforcement in respect to our relationship with God through Christ and our continuing with Him. Many Christians backslide simply because they did not stay around long enough to gain knowledge. And many backslide because even though they stay around, they did not pay attention to absorb the truth from God's word. Oh Lord, you know time is going. Let me, brothers and sisters, let me just, I want to share with you two passages in the book of, one is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, one is in 1 Samuel chapter 2. About all the world. We're not going to do that because time is running out. We have just another 7 or so minutes and the lesson will be yours. And that is how the word knowledge, one of the passage tells how Samuel did not know Jehovah. And the other passage which talks about how the sons of Eli knew not the law. And the two term there, which is almost the exact term, had different meaning in respect to knowledge. But I'll have to skip that because I want to touch briefly, just briefly, for a 5 or 10 minutes, and the lesson will be yours, on the last point. I couldn't end the lesson and don't touch on this because a lot of lesson I promised that I'll finish up and never get back to them. But another thing, I want you to listen carefully, the last point. And I want you to listen carefully. Another thing which plays an important reinforcement force in our relationship with God and protect against backsliding is a worshiping life. Oh Lord, I will have to learn how to make the sun stand still like Joshua. Well, not your son really, to make all of your clocks stop working. So that when it's 12 o'clock, your clock is still saying 11 or 11:30. Because I wish I had more time to spend on this, but I will be brief. Another thing which reinforces our relationship with the Almighty God and protects us against backsliding is a life of worship. Are we there? Look here. I'm not just talking about mere worship. Listen to me carefully. True, sincere, willing worship. What did I say? True worship. Sincere worship. Willing worship keeps us near to God, and it keeps us in union and in fellowship with the Almighty God. Now look at this passage. It is Hebrews chapter 10, and we are going to now read from verse about 19.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Everybody is listening to the passage. Read that again quickly, brother.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of
Jesus. You understand what that means? It means that through Jesus Christ, the Christian man or woman has boldness to enter where?
The holiest.
The holiest.
By the blood of
Jesus. That means where God is, we can through Jesus Christ and prayer enter there. Huh? By the blood of Christ. Read on.
By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us.
Y'all hear that? This is referring to God's grace that He has opened a way. He has bridged the gap that sin has created. When a man or woman comes to Jesus Christ and meet the condition of the gospel, believe, repent, confess and get baptized, your sins washed away through Christ's blood. The gap has been bridged. Where you and God were apart, through Jesus Christ, you are now brought together. Read.
Okay. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
By a new and living way.
By a new and living way.
Which He hath consecrated for us.
Uh-huh.
Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh.
That's right. All of this is referring to Jesus' death. And the pouring out of His life to open the way for you and me to meet God, to be in fellowship with God, to be in union with God. Read on.
And having an high priest over the house of God.
Wait, brother, wait. That high priest, watch here now. That high priest is Jesus Christ. Wait. The house of God is the church. Having an high priest over, notice it is not the church, not the houses of God. But the house of God. That is the church. Read on.
Let us draw near.
Wait, brother, wait. You listening to me, brother? Did you know it's now telling you about worship? That's right. Having Jesus Christ over the church of Christ, which He purchased with His blood. And He's speaking to the church. He said, having all these privileges, He said, let us draw
near,
near
with a true heart.
Our heart must be true.
In full assurance of faith.
We must come with faith.
Having our heart sprinkled from an
evil... Our heart must be sprinkled
from an evil conscience.
From an evil conscience.
And our bodies washed.
Our bodies must be washed
with,
water. The water of baptism. Great is talk about worship. Draw near. Read, no, brother.
Let us hold fast.
Let us hold tight. That's what the word fast means. It means tightly.
Let
to
us,
what we profess to be.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith.
That is our Christianity.
Without
wait. You see, brother, wait, if we don't hold fast, we will backslide quick.
Mm-hmm.
We will slip away as anything comes.
Yes.
So we must hold tight. To the profession of our faith.
Without wavering.
Wait! You must not linger. You want to backslide today and tomorrow. You want to be fearful and then tomorrow something out thy world. You want to backslide because you believe Christ, Christian, and the church are holding you back. That's wavering. We. You know that there are some things we don't waver about? Huh? Yeah? I could begin to name thousands of things we don't waver about because they are so important to us. Huh? You ever notice some of the things that you will tolerate at your workplace? Sometimes the work environment is not the best, but the pay is good. Eh? Sometimes the boss you deal with or the supervisor is not the best, but the pay is good. Eh? Eh? So you can go through all that comes because in spite of all the challenges at the workplace, you love the job. You don't waver about doing your best. We must not waver when it comes to Jesus Christ. Without wavering.
For he is faithful that promised.
He is faithful that promised.
And let us consider one another.
To provoke.
Unto love and to good works.
Read on.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Somebody didn't hear that. I tell you, the whole text is talking about worship. When the text talks about let us draw near. The text is teaching us that in worship we draw near to God. So if you didn't understand it, here it comes down now to verse 25. We must not stay away from the gathering of the church.
As the man of some is.
As some unfaithful Christians are doing.
But exhorting one another.
But we must exhort one another.
And so much the more. As ye see the day approaching.
Brothers and sisters. May I? Sincere worship must be God-centered. It must never be man-centered. This means that the primary reason for worshiping should be to give glory and honor and reverence and exaltation to the Almighty God. It means that your primary reason for worshiping should not be to get personal reward or to achieve personal goals, or to receive emotional stimulation or entertainment from worship. It must never be for that. It does not mean that when you get emotional uplift from worship, it is wrong. No, it is not wrong when through worship you get emotional uplift, but you should not enter worship for that. Pure, divine accepted worship should have God, exaltation, God's glory as the prime motive. Worship is about God. And you know what? It is owed to God. So, when you think of worship, always remember to reason like this. God has given me 24 hours in the day. In becoming a Christian, one of the things that entails is that I accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ over me and what I possess, which means they all belong to Jesus Christ. And therefore, I need to set premium time aside for the glory and the exaltation and upliftment of God's name. I must not covet it. I must not let anything encroach on it. It belongs to God. Oh Lord, so much to share, so much to say. Can I just read one more passage and close? Please read it for me, no brother. What are you waiting for? You're asking for the passage, Psalms 148, verse 1 through 4. And that is the last passage. That is the last passage. Let us hear it.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Ye heavens of heavens.
Heavens of heaven.
And ye waters that are...
Wait. The passage is talking about worship. How it is due to the Almighty God by everything that have life. Read. Start again.
Praise
and the
Him.
Brother, have your invitation ready. Praise Him.
Ye heavens of heavens.
Ye heavens of heavens.
And ye waters that be above the heavens.
Waters that are above the heavens, praise Him.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For He commanded, and they are created.
God commanded them, and they came into existence.
He hath also established them forever and ever.
He established them forever and ever.
He hath made a decree which shall not pass.
God made a decree that shall not pass.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
From the earth.
From the earth.
Ye dragons and all deeps.
The dragons and all the beasts.
Fire.
Fire.
And hail.
And hail.
Snow.
Snow.
And vapor.
And vapor.
Stormy winds.
Stormy winds.
Fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills. Fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all the cattle. Creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people. Princes and all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord.
Wait, did you get that list? Did you get that list? It includes the snow. Huh? It includes everything. And what the Psalms is saying, that praise and worship is due to the Almighty God by everything which He has created. Should not man, his intelligent creation, see reason to want to give God worship as an important part of our lives? Because it is due to God, and among the blessings is that it reinforces our relationship with Him and help against backsliding. Today, if you are here as a child of God who is sleeping, what better time to come and recommit your life than now? If you are here today and if you have never made a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ who went to Calvary. There is no better time than now. That's why the Bible said today is the day of. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You must believe in Jesus as God's Son, as your Lord, as your Savior. You believe that? You must make a resolution to turn from sin and godliness, worldliness, and turn to the righteous ways of Christ. But you are not a Christian then. You must also, what I've just mentioned about turning is repentance. You must also confess faith in Christ. And you must be baptized. There is no substitute for baptism. You know why? It is in baptism that you get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ, without which you cannot be forgiven. And God's baptism is not sprinkling. Sprinkling qualifies you to join a man-made church. Confirmation qualifies you to join a man-made church. Baptism places you under the influence of Jesus' blood. Because according to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 5, in baptism you spiritually reenact the redeeming acts of Jesus Christ.